Make more birdies.
A bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you will fall out of balance.
Welcome to Birdies and Bourbon. Sit down and have a sip.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. Hey, another first for us. We are we're getting ready to do our first barrel pick with some partners of ours. So the Rochester Barrel Picking Club. I hope I got that right. We'll get to you in a minute, Jeff, and you can give them the proper introduction. So we've got Jeff on with us, and we got Alan Katz from New York Distilling Company, and he's going to give us a little kind of walking through the process. So if you haven't done a barrel pick before, he's going to talk a little, probably he'll give us some insight on New York Distilling, a little history on himself, but then he's going to walk through, you know, where did he get the barrels from? Why did he pick these? And an overview of what they are. And then the main reason that I'm here is we're going to sample these babies and pick a barrel.
Amen.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, I'm, you know, I didn't really think this was going to come to fruition, but we're here. Thanks for having me again. Jeff March from Rochester, New York, Elite Barrel Pickers. I know it's a little long, but I don't know the Rochester Society or whatever you said, but no, thanks for having me on again. I think this is going to be fun. My daughter's coming to join us. No, I'm excited to kind of do a, you know, I've done a few picks in my day and excited to, you know, do this one as well.
Absolutely.
Alan?
Well, thanks, guys. Likewise, I'm down in Brooklyn, where the distillery is located. We're a 9-year-old distillery. We make rye whiskey and we make gin as well. And my enthusiasm and great infatuation, if you will, for rye really goes back to pre-colonial era America, where rye was the foremost spirit of its day. And as you get into the first golden age of cocktail culture, which is really the mid to late 19th century up until Prohibition, the predominant brown spirit was in fact rye. So when I was setting up my distillery with my partners here in Brooklyn, I really impressed it upon them that I wanted to focus on these two categories alone and exclusively of gin on the clear spirits and rye on the whiskey. And it's pretty unique. A lot of our colleagues and contemporaries make a myriad of whiskeys. I love whiskey in general. I love bourbon. I love malt whiskey. I'm always interested in trying something new. But I figured if I've got, you know, a lifespan to dedicate to something specifically, that I'm going to focus just on rye, learn along the way as much as I can about it, and share it with other people. Now, the unique thing about going through this with you today, and then I'll give it back to you guys and to Jeff, is that our typical MO is that we blend our barrels. We make a flagship at 90.4 proof called Ragtime Rye, and we make a bottled and bond at 100 proof, of course. And the concept of single barrels is one that I love because we are constantly tasting our single barrel output. And we have a primary space in Brooklyn, our manufacturing space where we age barrels. And then we have two warehouses in upstate New York, closer, frankly, to where Jeff is than where I am. And that's where the bulk of our barrels of several thousand at this point are aging. And if there was something I would take great pride in, is that we've made every drop of this whiskey. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like it, it's on me. If you like it, it's on me. That's all fine. But with great pride, as I said, none of this is purchased. We make our whiskey, we age it to our specifications. And what I've tried to do is pick barrels from a couple different warehouses, of course, but from lower levels in the warehouse, a little bit higher. High is relative. This is not like going to a rickhouse in Kentucky or Tennessee that's several stories high. Our barrels are 10 or 12 high, but there's even a discernible difference in temperature and final output in that discrepancy of height. And then, depending on the width of the rec house, barrels from the interior to the exterior. And those that are on the exterior get a lot more heat to absorb and ultimately evaporate the whiskey, just because our warehouses are corrugated metal. So the closer you are to that exterior wall, the more sunlight is beaming down on it, The walls themselves get quite hot, like burned to the touch. And so that's where we'll get into some nuance of flavor, aroma, and other characteristics, in large part based on where these barrels were picked from, so that there's enough fun and diversity from you to select.
Are you doing any temperature control? Because I know some place, I know you mentioned that you're up here, so closer to me.
It's not in the budget to do temperature control.
Sure.
But even if it was, it's not something that I particularly prescribe to. I have friends that do, and I've experienced some things, you know, certainly down in Kentucky as well, a few places that do that. But for us, we simply let it go through the seasons, and we really are counting our years by how many summers we go through, because our distilling season starts in earnest in the fall. Our rye harvest is in July, mid-July. The corn doesn't come in until early to mid-September. By the time our grains are cleaned and milled, we're really looking at late October and into November to start in earnest. So it's a good pace and a good rush for us to get liquid in a barrel, our new make in barrels, and finished before we really hit April, I'd say, so that we can get spring and then the intensity of summer in for that first season.
And all your grains and such, everything's sourced in New York, correct?
All of our rye and corn are from New York. Right now, we work with specific farmers for those grains. We don't, to be honest, work with specific farmers for our barley, so we get it where it's available. It's all North American. The mash bill is 75% New York State rye, 13% New York corn, and 12% malted barley.
Hmm. Nice.
But I know this is going to go extremely well. I will say, before we started recording, you did share you like to do your tasting before 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a man after my heart. So I'm thinking the next one we do is going to be during the British Open, and we can have a little rye whiskey and a little golf on, man.
There you go.
We'll do it.
Hey, Alan, before we get started, for the people that are watching, can you tell them? I know, but can you tell them how many barrels you rest in a year, just so they can get the sense of how big you are? I know.
Sure.
Some people haven't heard of New York Distilling.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks. Thanks for asking. You know, our ambition since about year five, and we've just started year 10, has always been to fill 1,000 barrels a year. We've never hit that mark. So, just to sort of paint a picture of what craft distilling is like when you're making your own whiskey, the most I think we filled is 867 in a year. Wow. And right now we're sitting on just shy of 3,000 barrels. Obviously, that takes into consideration barrels that we started dumping 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 3+ years.
Column still or pot still?
We use both. We have a pot still in Brooklyn and a column still upstate. Hmm. And so sometimes we'll discern between the two. Sometimes we'll blend between the two. And the fun thing, and it sort of lends to maybe my sole positive attribute, is that I'm exceedingly, almost foolishly patient in life. And so we do a lot of not so much forecasting, but planning. And I'm not trying to be esoteric with our whiskeys. I really want them to be approachable for whiskey aficionados and professionals alike. But you know, we have projects that are 8, 9, 10 years in the making, and some won't come to fruition for another 2, 3, 4 years. As I said at the outset, because we're constantly learning from what's coming out of the barrels about what our whiskey is and what it can be.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. So I'm assuming as we kind of start into these, you're gonna share kind of what we're tasting, maybe some age statements, et cetera, as we go through each glass, right?
That's correct.
I think we should. I mean, we are live right now. I hate to know the age statement because your mind will sometimes maybe tasting notes. Honestly, I haven't memorized these at all. I haven't turned around. I don't even know what this age statement is. I know we're going left or right, but I think we should wait till the age statement at the end, because some people like
might
to
be
know
some
that.
Surprises.
You might like to. I know we have a couple, I think 2014s and 2016s, but that's all I really know. I typically, you know, we have 5 samples. I try to find 2 outliers that maybe are just missing something. They're not for me. They might be for someone else. And then go down to three and really decide, you know, have a collective conversation. Hopefully we all can agree to those three. If not, great. But, you know, we can work those out and see if there's one or two that we really like. Because I did try these, and there's some really good ones. I think we're in for a treat for sure.
I do too. I just hope I can make it to the where we've dropped two and we're to the three part.
Well, so, I mean, this is I poured a couple ounces, but you don't need to drink it all. You know, really, you know, what I recommend is nose all of them.
Yep.
You know, kind of get your notes down. You know, noses are great, but you can't drink a nose. You know, so nose them all, see what you think. There's a couple that are, you know, probably pretty similar. You can get some caramel on some of them.
It's a funny thing. I'm a weird taster, I'm sure, but rather than a long draw, I take real short, quick sniffs and then put it away and then just let my brain work a little harder on that first one and see if anything comes to the fore, and then I'll go back and say, oh yeah, orange peel, candied orange, peach skin. I'm keeping my mouth shut after this, but
watermelon with a sunrise beating down on it.
A little sea mist.
I know there's going to be some quiet time. I mean, that's the thing.
The other thing,
it is what it is.
I mean, these are all at 112, which is essentially cask strength. We do barrel entry proof at 115, and so Jeff's right. These are all within, I believe, a 4+ to 6+ year age range. So we have had some alcohol evaporation, obviously some water as well, but a little bit more alcohol evaporation. So the proof just does gently decrease in that range of timestamp.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything like, I mean, the nose on these are all pretty pleasant. I mean, for cast strength, I mean, everything's coming across pretty inviting. I mean, nothing's like, don't get me yet. You know, it's kind of saying, yeah, you want a little more. I don't get anything that's really crazy.
Couple that more. There's one that's just wow.
Yeah, like, I got one.
There's three. There's three of pretty similar ones, I would say. I mean, that's one thing a lot of people ask me, like, oh, what do you get on the nose? I just know what I like. Sometimes I'm getting more into, you know, the orange peels and the, you know, what Alan expressed earlier. But you know, there's one that's pretty blah, and one there's, you know, it's like, wow, is this finished in something?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, let's dive in and taste them. And they've actually opened up since I opened them earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, already starting with number one, and like you, it was, I don't know, a week or two ago, whatever we got, a couple days after we got them, Dan and I.
Cal, say the number so that we're all, so that we, I can make sure I'm on the same one.
Yeah, sorry. So we're going 414, 447.
447, 611, 630, and 639.
Okay, got it.
I mean, one off the bat, I mean, it's a little early, you know, all five of them. There's one off the bat that I probably think is missing something, in my opinion. Might be your guys' favorite. If it is, let's talk about it. I would just say 639 might be missing just something, in my opinion.
See, I'm getting, I hadn't tasted it yet. I'm just kind of smelling. I'm getting kind of honey.
There's caramel on the nose, I get.
The nose on, like, yeah. I thought the nose on 639 was one of the ones I thought had some nice character to it.
611 is crazy.
Yeah, so 639 to me, so that's our fifth one. It's, I don't know, it feels a little thin to me, kind of on the palate. It's kind of hitting.
really nothing. There's no finish, just a little that rye. There's really nothing that draws out besides the rye spice.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I get it. A little bit tip of the tongue hits the mid palate, and then it's just kind of gone. I don't get, you know, a whole lot of kind of viscosity or that oily mouth coat on 639.
And if viewers can see, so this guy is 639. You can see the color as well compared to 630. I mean,
so there's a reveal right there. I'm biting my tongue not to share too much information.
Go ahead. No.
Well, if he's going to let the cat out of the bag, man, yeah, I mean, speak up.
I will say, now this is interesting. This is the youngest of the sample set that I sent you. So that color is a great indicator. I sent this one because of all the barrels that I've tasted of recent note. This is one of my distinctive favorites from the 2016 distillation season. This is a 4-year, 4-month-old barrel now, but it'll be interesting in comparative set if we, let's say, disqualify 639, that it was, in fact, the youngest of the set.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, so that's fair, right? And that's probably why when I'm saying I'm not getting a whole lot of finish, it's feels a little bit thin. Is that, that's the...
It could be, but what I would say in interesting in note is, just from my experience, if you have the room and the interest, save that sample. And just for fun, I'll send you a sample of 639 on an annual basis until we bottle it, and let's see how it evolves at a 12-month interval.
I think it needs one more summer.
Yeah,
So there's one thing, you know, the price point with Ragtime Rye is, it's crazy. It's crazy good. Some people, we did a pick right here. Some people like the, at that price point, they'll use it for a cocktail. I mean, $6.39, I would put that in a cocktail right now with that spice on the back end. I mean, it's going to express a lot of things. You know, we're not necessarily trying to pick up a cocktail, but for that, for a cocktail, that would be very, very good to get that rye spice.
So 6:30 to me. Sorry, is it too early to move on?
No, yeah, I would say 6:39 is out.
I was it rushing.
So we have four left. 6:39 is out, in my opinion. If everybody agrees.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But you compared 6:39 to 6:30, and I'm getting like. I mean, when I'm thinking about drinking a rye whiskey, I mean, this kind of just screams rye whiskey to me. I'm getting like a ton, just big red chewing gum, just put it in my mouth, got sweet on that first chew. And then as soon as it hits your kind of the inside of your mouth, right? I mean, I just start salivating all around this thing and I get that good, strong, deep rye finish. I wouldn't say it's actually still finishing for me. So I'd say this is one of the longer finishes in the group. And I just took small taste of the others. But from a finish standpoint, I mean, this is kind of the if somebody said, oh, I don't like rye, I would imagine this is what they tasted.
I won't reveal the age of the next four. But what I'll say very interestingly, and the reason I sent this barrel to the three of you, was that most of our barrels, 90% of our barrels are from the independent stave company in Missouri. Century Plus Old Cooperage, you know, unless you're Diageo.
Awesome place to go to.
You know, unless you have your own cooperage, by and large in the American whiskey game, you buy from independent stave company. And they have a couple different types of barrels now. And I used to think it was gimmicks. And I said, well, I'll buy a few of these and a few of those. And we'd had some mainstay, their regular barrels. I should mention the char we use for all of our barrels is char level 3 out of 4. And I selected this barrel because it's one of the few by percentage that we filled in a Kelvin with the K, Kelvin Cooperage barrel from Kentucky. And as I said, in the effort for us to continue to learn about our whiskey, in our earliest days, which, you know, maybe a decade's worth of time seems like a long time, but we're really just, you know, getting out of the juvenile stage of what we're trying to do long term. We said, okay, well, let's try some different barrels maybe where the heads are toasted, maybe when they're not, And what we've learned over time, in my opinion, is that while we order Kelvin at char 3, that to me, a Kelvin char 3 is like an independent stave barrel at char 4. So it's a deeper char.
You can tell by the color. I mean,
exactly. And so you get more color.
Is 611, sorry to interrupt, Alan. 611, is that Kelvin?
No. 630 is the only Kelvin barrel. I didn't realize the gamesmanship that we'd be entertaining here, but I sent it in large part because I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm getting some different characteristics, again, without giving my tasting notes.
No, what are your tasting? I get a little smoke on the front. I mean,
yeah,
the nose was a little different to me based on our rye whiskey, to be honest.
You know, as Cal said, and I should say, I've never met Cal and Dan before. This is the first time. One of Cal's first notes, I think that I heard on 639 on the first whiskey we tasted, was a note of honey.
Mm-hmm. On the nose, yep, for sure. Yep.
And that has really become a hallmark for our whiskeys, for our ragtime rye. And so when we get barrels that are so far afield of that, I put a different color code on that to say, let's pay attention to this. Let's watch this over time. And I agree, Jeff, this has got a little bit more perfunctory smoke and earthiness to it, sort of like, you know, a little bit darker than that mild tobacco, a little bit of that cinnamon is still mixed in there. But once that cinnamon dissipates, that's when I'm getting some darker fruit, darker chocolate, and a real nice lingering finish.
Yeah, so for me,
630 is stained, we'll say. But let's try to find one other.
Okay, hold on. I don't want to taste 611 yet, because just on the nose, I think I think it's going to be unfair to the other two.
I think 447 is my next out.
All right, go there. I want to skip 611. I think it's special.
We're trying to find no buenos. It was funny because I was down in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago at Lux Row, and we had who just got purchased by MGP.
Yep.
We had three samples, and it was that's a cool experience down there for sure. But three samples, and they all were like alike. And it was just like, where'd you guys pull these? Are these like sister barrels?
Hey, just get the ones right there. It's easy, right?
Right. No, we greatly appreciate it. You can tell Alan put in some thought with these, and there's a lot of different things going on with all
Absolutely.
These. There's two. Yeah. There's two maybe that are pretty similar, but all the others are not even close. And I think 414 and 447 are pretty similar, but I think 414 just outperforms.
I would agree. So,
and honestly, before I tasted, to the viewers, I did try these before we got on just to see what I was trying. I did not like 414. And after it opened up and everything, 447 is vice versa. Like I like 44. I don't like 444. That I don't like 447 right now. It's just,
447 to me is it's kind of a little flat on the nose, and that could be, whoa. So I just hit 414 and I didn't smell honey. And oddly enough, I didn't get honey on the tip of my tongue, but I've got like on the finish, it's like, I'm like the honey is just in the back of my throat, just continuing on. And I got some heat with it too. Not heat, but it's making my tongue tingle, but it's like if I had like hot sauce honey and I put a big spoonful of it in, that's what 414 is giving me now.
What'd you have for lunch? Did you just drink honey all day or what?
No. Hey, and oddly enough, and again, as I mentioned, I tasted them as well and made some notes. Yeah, and now I'm getting kind of some minty, a little more heat on that 414.
It's great. I just put I put mint at 414 also.
Yeah, I get the men on the 414. Yep.
What do you think of 447, everybody? You think that's a no?
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's good, but yeah. I mean, What is the year on that one?
The 447 is 5 years, 4 months plus days this month. I put it in there because I put, you know, for me, it was a nice undulating cola note. I thought on an ice cube, I liked a lot. I'm going back to my notes from this morning here. More vanilla on the nose than honey, but a little bit of that honey. But then once the alcohol dissipates, to me, that cola sticks with it. Mm-hmm. And unlike some of the other barrel samples, a little bit more of darker chocolate, a dusting of darker chocolate, and not heavy by flavor, but almost by weight on the palate of fruit.
You put a drop of water in this. It's a vanilla bomb on the nose.
Exactly.
Which one?
447.
But mine might have been just a more than a drop, but then it kills the back end. But man, vanilla galore on the on the nose.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I just put water in there and I just immediately got that concentrated vanilla, like the, in the little bottle, little dark bottle. Yeah.
So I would say we have 414, 611, 630. I would say now we're in these are completely different zone.
Yeah.
414. I mean, they're all rise. 414 is traditional. Have you guys tried 611 is funky in a good way.
I got lots of good things to say about it.
And then 630 is, you know, we already talked about that. Let's dive into 611.
Okay.
This might shoot. I mean, the nose on this is,
it's crazy good, isn't it?
What is it, like raisin, caramel?
That's it.
There's so much shit going on in this thing.
All right, I'm getting some, but if I'm getting like some lemon zest, and maybe that's kind of the mint or something that's almost kind of translating to like that spicy zest of the lemon, not the citrus,
I agree. It's the skin. You get lemon. To me, it's like lemon and grapefruit a little bit is what I put down.
Yeah.
What's this finished in? What's this finished in?
Any wood. These are all still in their original barrels as we speak and breathe here today.
That's crazy.
This has not had any secondary finish.
So I don't have to say honey flavor this time, so Jeff doesn't yell at me. We may call this one like, hey, honey.
I'll tell you where this came from. This was in our upstate warehouse. It's in Orange County, New York, which is about 90 minutes north of New York City. And this was the highest rack in the warehouse, about center high. I can't tell you, but I haven't weighed the barrel, you know, how much exactly has evaporated, but there is a different concentration of flavor because it's been affected by a greater heat variance in this particular rec house.
Was that the Cliff Notes version? Cause as you're talking, I'm thinking in my mind, it turned itself into a short barrel, but can you give me maybe the people that are going to be listening or that are listening actually, can you give us the Cliff Notes of what does it mean when, you know, from your expertise and you're picking out barrels and you're talking about location, what does that actually mean?
So to give it a little bit of a backstop or preface, we lose in a good way. We lose about 5% of the whiskey when the barrel is filled in a matter of weeks to absorption into the oak staves, into the barrel. And then on average, on an annual basis, we'll lose another 5% to evaporation. So if you introduce
per year, or
every year, another 5%. At 4 years old, you've lost 25% of your barrel, et cetera, et cetera. So if we put a barrel or take a sample in this case from a barrel that's on a higher rack at a higher level in the warehouse, and the heat is affecting, again, there's not a ton of ventilation. Our warehouses, all of them are made of corrugated metal, so it can get pretty warm in there, particularly in spring. And obviously in summer, we have the same hot, humid summers. Yours might be a little bit longer than ours. Jeff's might be a little bit less, but they're all relatively, they're relatively the same. But at that temperature, and even at, say, 10 barrels high, we can get an 18, 19 degree variance on the same day. And if you think of, you know, the big companies in Kentucky and Tennessee, theirs are six stories high. So real monumental differences here. So even in ours, you know, a nearly 20 degree difference is going to have a direct impact on how the whiskey is aging. What I mean by that is as we get evaporation, the real essence of aging is how oxygen is interacting with the whiskey that's still in the barrel. And if you can sort of picture a side view of the barrel front on, so you're looking at the circle of the head of the barrel, that say you've lost 15, 20, 25%, and you can picture that headspace in the barrel, all that room in the barrel between the liquid, the aging whiskey, and the rest of the circumference of the barrel is that headspace where the oxygen gets to play and really affect the aromas and the flavors once we pull it out.
It's really interesting because we had a distillery had half of a barrel. It was like a 6 year, and it sat for like a year and a half, and we tried it, and then we tried it a year and a half later, and it was like, holy smokes.
Sure.
Like that, it was basically hyper aged, and what came out was like, oh, I mean, you do get a little bit more oak, I feel like, because of the, you know, it was on the higher side, but you don't get much. I mean, the flavors on this, it's, the color is probably the darkest besides Calvin. I mean, they're both pretty dark. It's definitely, you know, first or second on the level of darkness, but,
Yeah, it's interesting that that's usually your darkest barrel, and then, you know, what's not is, I mean, again, to me, I mean, I kind of eyeball them. I don't have that good of an eye, and the lighting's bad, so I wouldn't say there's much.
Isn't the sun out in Georgia, or?
Well, you know, daylight savings, man. Sun's going down. sun's going down in Georgia. So we're down to three, right?
Yeah, 414, 611, and 630. What should be our final two? What do you think?
Well, here's just a couple thoughts on my mind. I think, I'm with you, Jeff, on 414. That was not my favorite at the beginning. I had just a smell and a sniff and poured it back in when I got them, but.
There's something on the back end that is a little bit.
It's a mint bomb to me, man.
It's like a mint. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get mint bomb like totally on this. And if you're traditionally looking for,
I think a lot of the rye drinkers out there now are used to, MGP 95.5 because it's everywhere. It really is.
Yeah.
And talk about mint, fresh notes. This doesn't even compare to those. I don't even really get that much mint on it. There is some there, but it's not standout. It's your traditional rye, in my opinion. 414 is a traditional rye. I think it's a little bit older, to be honest. It's well-rounded compared to 639. The flavor profile goes a little bit longer, and then it rounds out with a little spice on the back end. 611.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute because
I'm just going to go down the route. I'm going to go. 611 is very unique. It's it's not your traditional rye. It's something I like because I like not to be like everybody else. I like to be different. 611 is that profile basically. You do get some rye on the back end. 630 was good. I would put that one out next, probably, in my opinion. But that's just
you'd put 630 out.
Yeah, I would put it between 414 and 611. To be honest.
So, can we talk about this for a second?
No, yeah. It's done.
Okay.
No. If you two over.
But to me, in both of the. I mean, when I'm looking at 414 and 630, it all has to do with the finish to me. And oddly enough, and again, I mean, everybody's palate's different. Jeff mentioned I had nothing but honey to eat today. I had Honey Nut Cheerios. I had waffles and spicy waffles and chicken for lunch, and haven't had dinner yet.
Isn't Waffle House in Georgia?
Oh, yes. Amen, brother.
Just like Odessa.
But the weird thing, and I'm just making a statement, is I get a hot, I wrote down a note, oddly enough. I get hot cotton candy. Like if you could make big red cotton candy, that's what I get out of 630. Out of 414, I get if you could combine like double mint gum, honey flavor, and one of those little honey chews. That's what I get. So it's like it's really throwing me off because I don't know. It's two totally different flavor profiles.
I think it's almost one versus one versus one because these are three different profiles. They are. I mean, you could honestly pick a 1, 2, 3 out of the hat, and you couldn't go wrong with any of these three. In my opinion, it's how 414 traditional rye, 611. It's funky. It's really good.
Let's agree that 611 is in there.
Yeah, 611 is good. I mean, right. I think 630 is good. It's like you said, big reds, cinnamon.
All these are the same proof levels, give or take. And I get the most heat. And it's not an off-putting heat. I get the most, like, spice out of... Out of 630, that's the most spice that I get on the palate.
I agree.
It's all spice. So again, we're going to get somewhere.
Question for Alan, and this is, question I have is, what do you see? I know it took a while for me to, but what do you see as someone? So you're a regular drinker, right? Is it neat? Is it fresh ice or fridge ice, or is it a drop of water? Because when I see my group members that because they all have I poured water in all these and re-poured them, they all have different profiles.
100%.
So when picking, fortunately and unfortunately, I always have that in my mind is how can the rest of my group enjoy exactly. Cause I know that 65-70% of the group is going to throw ice on this thing or they're going to, which is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to make sure they're happy with their pick as well, because for 639, it went adios. There was nothing. And then I would be like, hey, why the F did you pick 639? Because I liked that cask. Now I put water in 630, I put water in 611, I put water in 414 and saw how it worked a little, or how the spirit actually brought on the water. And yeah, I mean, what do you see out there?
You know, it's just my personal preference. I'm always going to taste at room temperature. These are all 112. Our cask strength is 112. I can drink this on its own. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not harsh in any way. And that's fine. It's just a comment. However, if I was sitting and we were sitting in the same place, sitting with friends, having this to drink, for me, I'd put one kitchen ice cube, not big ice cube, one half moon out of your freezer dispenser of ice. That's it for me. And I mean on, two good fingers of a pour. And I'm intrigued just from the pleasure sense, but also the business sense of what I want to do with the whiskeys that are coming out of our barrels. I would say in descending order, it's on one ice cube is my preference. I'm a cocktail guy, so I typically will make old fashions with overproof whiskey. because I know that slight stir on ice is also just going to bring the proof down. And then I'll go on a different course and try it in a Manhattan. And these days it's interesting. You said, you know, what was that finished on these whiskeys or one or two of them?
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm as big a vermouth freak as I am a rye whiskey freak.
God, we got to get up. You and I have to get up. We got to do a session just on vermouth.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to these guys another time.
So these days I'm making Manhattans, but I'm specifically using Spanish vermouths. I've been using Italian vermouths for 25 years and getting, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get real geeky on vermouth. I have my house blend. It's a split between an earthier, robust vermouth and a brighter cherry forward vermouth. And I do it 50-50, put it in my own dark bottles and put it in the refrigerator. But these days, you know, I go heavy toward Spanish vermouths that are sherry based. Some of them clearly have a PX influence, and with an overproof whiskey, particularly a rye that you perceive at least has some spice to it, it's a real nice counterbalance in a cocktail.
So my question, Alan, I know we're on a time commitment. Are our final three, is your favorite in the final three? And be honest.
Sure. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is.
So we didn't screw up too much yet.
I don't know.
414, 611, and 630.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, I did add a touch of water, and I got a lot. I think it helped. I shouldn't say help. That's the wrong word to use. I got a lot more mint out of not 414. I got a lot more mint out of 414 on the palate.
Fresh.
Yeah. Like just freshly crushed. I'm thinking like, how do I make a whiskey mojito?
I think adding water to 630 was it ruined. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No,
my top two are 414 and 611.
I can roll with honest. That. Yeah. Right. Dan?
Me, yeah, I'm with that.
Dan, are you even, I don't even think Dan's drinking.
I got Diet Coke, guys. That's good, right? No. I was with Jeff when we tried to eliminate 6:30 like 15 minutes ago. So yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying.
Dan.
Yeah.
Cal likes to talk.
He does.
It's okay.
He does.
Hey, next time you guys can do the show by yourself. You know, okay?
When you ask him about the eyesight and like this one's darker than that one, you should see him try to read a green. So just telling you.
It's like, this is breaking right a foot. No, it's actually going 4 feet left, dumbass.
It's like the hill's the other way, dipshit.
You're only wearing one shoe, Cal.
All right, so we're at
611 and 414. Alan, these are complete opposites. They really are.
There are some significant differences.
A lot. I kind of dig 611.
I do too.
Just because, I mean, so in my opinion, whiskey is about the experience. And yes, I know rye whiskey, you get a lot of fresh notes on the nose typically.
Yeah.
But this one brings you in from the start, like, holy shit. Like, what's going on here? Big, bold, you know, these are total opposites, to be honest. I mean, 414 is the traditional rye, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's good. I mean, we could probably bottle 414, 611, and 630. 630 just is a little flat to me on the back end when you add a little water, and on the nose, it brings it down a little bit. 611 and 414, bring out the characteristics of rye, even though they're not alike, of what I like, and what people I think would like. I don't think people like with the smokiness on 630 as a rye, in my opinion. But 611 and 414, I feel like we're dealing with the oldest whiskey on one of these, and I'm pretty sure it's 414 that we've tried. I'm not sure the year on 611, but 414 is probably the oldest just based on the profile of
there's a year difference between the two.
And I hope you share where they were placed at in the warehouse.
Sure. So
what have you gonna call
first
it?
Step, second step in New York, they would go by steps, not steps. Levels. Yeah. Okay. Steps.
Exactly. So
yeah, let's hear the backstories about these two. 414 and 611.
611 has been entirely aged in Brooklyn.
In inside next to the still?
Correct.
So as hot as possible.
Temperature control. I mean, keep the heat on.
When the still is on, it's like,
yeah,
that room is.
But this time of year, it's 40 degrees.
You take all the heat you can get, right?
Yeah, exactly. And 414, I'll give you the ages as well. So 611 is 4 years, 5 months, aged in Brooklyn. Again, maybe some non-typical characteristics. 414 is 6 years, 4 months as of this month, so plus a few days. What stood out to me were perhaps some typical characteristics. I still get some of those hallmarks, a bit of honey, riper stone fruit like peach on the nose.
Yep.
But darker on the finish, creme brulee, toffee, things of that nature that made it a real pleasing and long finish that I enjoyed a lot with that regard.
With 414?
With 414. That's specifically why I included that. I wanted to get something over 6 years in this sample set, frankly.
Yeah, but dark chocolate. I'm with you on that one.
It's funny nowadays when people taste whiskey, they want it not to taste like wood. Well, of course, it's been sitting in wood for years. So I'm also looking for variations in the wood characteristics. Is it oak? Is it cedar? And to what degree? So this was on the lighter side of oak for me, particularly as a 6-plus-year-old. And interestingly enough, this barrel entry proof went in a little bit higher than usual. It went in at just over 120 proof as opposed to our standard 115.
414.
414 went in at 120.
So did you cut this before you sent samples?
Yeah, these are all at 112, what our bottle proof would be.
And for that age, it kind of came out. I don't know what I can and can't say. I'm just going to be transparent and honest, right?
You can say, even if it was dog shit, you could say, hey, Alan, sure. It's dog shit.
No, I'm not talking, but I mean, to me, extra aged rye or mature rye, I mean, it's pretty light in color.
No, it is. I mean, you can kind of tell there, but no, it's definitely light.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost bottle both of these damn things, to be honest.
No, I would take it. The one thing that kind of throws me off on the back end of this, and I don't know, I'm going to use just what I'm tasting. I almost get a little bit of metallic taste on the back end of this. And maybe it's not metallic. It could be something else. And that's just the way I'm explaining it. But I almost get it. It's not off-putting. I mean, I would drink the hell out of this.
It's more like riped something.
It's like a rind. Like you mentioned watermelon earlier. I don't know if that's why I'm throwing that in the back of my head. But it's not watermelon. But I'm getting something that's like on the back end, like some tannins, and it's not off putting. I mean, we went through five and we're down to two, and it's one of them. It is not a bad taste. So it's not metallic, like it's off-putting.
So do you think this is the question, and we're live. Do you want someone to have a traditional rye, or do you want to have 611 as a unique, very good whiskey, rye whiskey, with a little more bold flavors to it? Because these are total opposites. That's the thing.
I feel like we're on a date right now, and you're putting me on the spot. So is it go time?
Yeah, go ahead. I want Dan's thoughts. I mean,
Dan, pull the trigger.
What do you think? 6'11" or 4'14"?
Cal, first off, you and I are not partners because you drink too much, so you're not going on a second date. But no, I'm just kidding. I like 6'11" the most. I think it's most unique. Like you guys are saying, 4'14" is more of your traditional rye. I'm just getting a lot of uniqueness out of this. 6'11" you don't get everywhere, and I think it's fun. I think it's more fun.
And to the listeners, unique is not a bad thing, because a lot of people, when I say bring out the funky, like, it's not a bad thing. It's good to be unique in a lot of picks. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be like other people doing their picks, and not necessarily 414. I might have to ask Alan to hold this barrel for me.
Well, I was thinking this is going to be our 8 a.m. pre-8 a.m. British Open Championship.
Great. No, I mean, look, I mean, I got the, you know, we have a few minutes left, but Cal, what's your take on this?
No, I mean, I think it's 6'11 all day. I think I didn't taste anything that was bad. I tasted some that probably fit a lot of, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, it's good and I'll drink it. I think we settled on two good profiles. And I think the most unique, and I swear to God, I'm going to tell you Honey Bomb again. It's like Honey Bomb and mint.
Are you getting sweetness on the first part of it, and then the spicy on the back?
No, all in the back. I'm getting it. Well, all
I'm kind of getting a little sweet up front and a little spicy in the back.
Same. I get that. Do you? Cal's still working on his palate.
I'm adjusting.
Like his golf game. No, in my opinion, I would choose 6'11". I think everybody would be very satisfied with 6'11". It's not the age. It's more about uniqueness. I think what I want 414 down the road. So I will be talking to Al about that. But like you said, there's one I didn't care for. So I think Alan needs to talk to that barrel a little bit more. I think 639 needs some help on. It's just age. But you know, 6'11" definitely.
That's a bottle you can promote, and people are, no, I shouldn't say promote, but that's a bottle you can explain it to people, and they're going to want it. I mean, that's a good damn whiskey.
You don't even need to hype this thing, because what'd you say? 4 years, 4 months or something
for 639. Yes.
No, 611.
611 is 4 years, 5 months plus
in Brooklyn. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's next to still. Yeah. It's looking at the still getting all hot and heavy. Yeah.
It's a New York rye whiskey. Is it?
No, I think 611 is the winner.
I do too.
It probably, next to this still helps. I know another distillery that does stuff indoors as well, and it brings some bold flavors, which I love. I mean, the flavors on 6, when you nose them all, you might as well nose 414, 447, 630, and 690, 639. I left 611 out because 611 was way different than all those four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything throughout it, right?
My question for Alan is, honestly, which one would you have picked? Would you have picked 1414?
It's hard for me to say pick one. I mean, I honestly, if I was to rank them, I have 414, 611. I found 447 intriguing because of that undulating cola note, but wasn't meant to be today. 639 is not in there as a goof, but you were right off the bat that it was the youngest of the lot. And so specifically in comparison to the others, that probably shows.
So should we tell the viewers, Cal, what we're hopefully going to do this year with the series? And it's not necessarily going to be all with New York Distilling, but,
we should. Okay. We should tell people what we're going
to
do.
I'm glad to get around to that.
Do you want me to explain, or can you say this in like 5 minutes?
First off, Jeff, cheers.
Yeah, cheers,
and
buddy.
Alan, cheers. Thanks cheers for coming indeed. On with
yeah,
us.
Thank absolutely. You.
We really appreciate that. And
Oh boy.
So what we have coming up this year, we're going to follow the PGA Tour, and we're going to start releasing the major series. So hey, be on the lookout for the bottle.
We haven't figured out what we're going to call it yet. We're going to do something unique. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, we knew that Allen was producing great rye. He can give it, he can turn it around really, really quick, because with the bigger producers, it's who knows when you're getting it. This is going to be for the Masters. We're going to do something cool for the Masters. And everybody, I think everybody's going to love this bottle. I mean, under $50. I mean, 4 year, 6 month at the time of bottling, probably. I think people are going to love this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're buying the whole barrel. So, I mean, if nothing else, we're good to go.
I think Cal, I told Cal, we're going to take two barrels of 611.
Well, if you mix if you mix 630 and 414, I'm sure you get it.
There you go.
Well, hold on. No, I'm saving. I'm saving 630 because he's got some. Alan's got some promising things for that. So that,
we'll send you samples just for fun. You'll just see how it ages over time.
639.
Yep.
It was saved six. Well, I've saved some of everything. You wouldn't believe it, but oddly enough, I have.
No, but I think we have something cool. You know, as a golf fan, I am. You know, when you approach me,
I thought you were a golfer.
Oh yeah, I'm a golfer. Actually, hitting the simulator tomorrow, which is cool. I hate golf right now when there's snow out. But my boys wanted to get the simulator going. So
nice.
But no. I think we have something cool between my group, your followers with Birdies and Bourbon. You know, it's all about having fun, mm-hmm. you know, picking good whiskey. If all this stuff was not good, I would be completely transparent, and Alan would appreciate our honesty. Cause there's times where I've declined barrels. It is what it is. But I think we found a really, really good barrel with 611. Who knows, you know, it's going to be a master's theme. Might throw some. It'll be the first.
Is there any chance you could get green wax on a bottle?
It might be the first time I get these bottles and wax them over the seal. Nice. But so we'll see. We'll figure that out. But no, I appreciate. Thank you. I know Birdies and Bourbon appreciate you, Alan. I appreciate you. You've been great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to creating my own gin in the summer, which is going to be awesome. Alan is one of the best, in my opinion. Not to toot your horn, but he wants to build his brand. He's very responsive, and look, we could have barreled, honestly, bottled four of these. You know, one's, in my opinion, need some loving, but there's some good whiskey here. It's really, really good. Yeah. And I think 611 is very, very good. And
if you don't get a bottle of this, you'll miss it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, there's only going to be so many. Being in actually the distillate room, it's dark color, and we're looking forward to this partnership with Birdies and Bourbon, and having four releases this year with y'all, and we'll figure out the next three soon. And hopefully we can, I mean, maybe the PGA Championship, come out with our own logo with 414 as the kicker for the final series.
Nice. I don't see Alan nodding, but I don't see him shaking his head. No.
No, I mean,
I can be extremely versatile.
Yeah, no.
Happy to do it, and just happy to participate with you guys. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you very much, Alan. I'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good.
And, you know, thanks for having us, guys. I mean, it's been how I got introduced to you guys, and now Cal wants me to go live on, like, Instagram and shit. I'm like, dude.
I may have fallen out of the chair the other night, but they, I don't do that during like professional recordings. Like,
can I have a word in, or like, can I like talk for one? Like,
hey, Jeff loves that camera.
No, I don't like camera.
I just poured myself a little more.
Oh, there you go. Talk,
but no, hey, cheers, fellas. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Ellen, and looking forward to the partnership and, 2011 with y'all at Birdies and Bourbon.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
All right.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.